is Wildenstein, named after Oscar Wilde and Gertrude Stein. Our aim is to bring a better understanding within the gay and lesbian community. This is Jack Valinsky, along with Mike Meesch, asking you to join us for the next 90 minutes.
Right now we'll go into the main feature of the program, and that will be a safe sex workshop with Bill Scott of the Montrose Counseling Center. And to start off, we're going to talk about what is safe sex.
Well,
and playing safe.
Playing safe, the concept came as a measure to prevent the spread of AIDS. The KS AIDS Foundation, which I'm on the board of, started looking into this issue over 3 years ago. Basically, we started with, before we knew much about AIDS, with basic mother's advice, which is, you know, cut down to fewer partners, get your rest, make sure there's less stress in your life, eat well, get your 8 hours uninterrupted sleep.
Right.
Let's not cut down some of your partying if you're overextending it. And, of course, don't use any needles. And at that time, there was lots of things like even cut down on any type of alcohol or drug intake. While we're either getting high, if any of us do, when the alcohol or drug intake, our impairment is not as good and we may not be actually having safe sex at that time. But it's evolved since then to actually playing safe has three different areas. There's being absolutely safe, and also the possibly playing safe areas, which are still a little questionable. And then there is basically playing unsafe. And I'd like to go through them for just the audience here.
I think especially between the difference between absolutely and possibly. I think there should be some real definition there.
The really playing safe sex is definitely, we have to realize, it's not having sex. Sex, we still should be considered as very healthy, and it's a needed element within the human life. We need intimacy, and we need to be sharing that with people to be fully functioning people, as Maslow's hierarchy needs states, and I really believe that as a person. But the basic hugging and holding and cuddling and body-to-body rubbing, kissing dry is very safe, mutual masturbation or massages, along that line. Safe sex is not exchanging the high-risk body fluids. And the high-risk body fluids are defined in the medical arena by not exchanging urine, semen, blood, or feces. They're the four major high-risk fluids because they're very dense fluids, okay, that have a high element of the virus in it, the AIDS virus in it, and that it's most easily contracted through those four risk body fluids. Eliminating that, the body, within body-to-body contact, or your body digesting these fluids, is really safe sex.
All right, so where does saliva fit in there?
Saliva is considered it does contain some of the virus, but not a high quantity of the virus. If saliva was unsafe, you'd have millions of Americans with AIDS right now. Obviously, that's not the case. So it's pretty obvious that saliva is considered safe. Deep French kissing is in the sort of medium risk. And it really, you have to look at the anatomy of our mouth. Actually kissing someone, and if your mouth has its natural membrane buildup, it has a natural system to protect yourself from viruses. If you just brushed your teeth and you just use dental floss and then you're having some kissing, I think it would be a little more higher risk. But again, we're looking at this as what's absolute high risk to lower risk. Remember, and I want to repeat this all through this program, the object here is us to have safer sex. We can't expect to go out tonight and have safe sex right away. If you've been doing behavior 15 years, you can't expect yourself to change right away. I wish it could happen, that we could all change right away overnight, but we can't. And I don't want people to be beating themselves or feeling guilty that they're not having safe sex. The object here is to change. Change slowly or at your pace.
Good to hear.
Yeah. So really, going into the next category, the possibly safe sex, which we talk about saliva, possibly unsafe sex is deep French kissing, okay? Intercourse with possibly pulling out is okay. We consider that, you know, there's some risk there, but not as much. Using a condom is recommended if you do have intercourse at all. Having oral sex, basically if the person comes in the person's mouth and swallowing it is considered a higher risk. Oral sex we do consider to be in the medium risk or safer sex.
I was just about to ask you that. One question I have is about, pulling out before ejaculation.
Pre-seminal fluid.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah, pre-seminal fluid's always the question. And again, that is not a high-risk body fluid, okay? It is of a lower risk, a lower density, and it is safer than actually allowing the sperm to enter. It's safer if you're going to be into intercourse to use the condom, which we'll be getting a lot more into later on in this program. But it is safer, but it is, again, it's unsafe to actually allow yourself to come while in intercourse. That is definitely unsafe. So it's something to start to avoid. Hopefully, if you're involved, you will start to try safer by either using the condom or by pulling out before you actually climax. Going on in the possibly being safe areas is that we also look at what there's a nickname of water sports, but which has been, some people have been involved, and that is a high-risk body fluid. But as long as the water or the urine is not, again, ingested into the body, but we have to look at that because it can enter the body through cuts or sores, and that has to be looked at very carefully, okay? The next area we go into is really playing unsafe, and there's a very high risk of getting AIDS through these particular ways. Having intercourse, as I said, without a condom is the first. Actually swallowing your partner's semen in your mouth is an unsafe act. Water sports, as I just said, in someone's mouth, urine in someone's mouth, or in a skin or a cut or a sore. Actually sharing toys, a lot of people are into fantasy, sharing toys is sort of unsafe. And oral anal contact, okay? As well as almost any, you can also look at your hand in anal contact because often our cuticles on our fingertips have little openings under our fingernails, and feces can also enter through that area. So really, anal contact with either fingers or through oral anal contact is definitely unsafe.
One question.
Nose rimming.
All right. Yeah. Is that with, let's say, the toys or, well, dildos. I kind of wondered about that, in that there's no exchange of body fluids. The trauma to the body that those might entail?
Well, again, if you have used a toy and if it has been inside your body in any way and it connected with any of those particular high-risk body fluids,
right?
And another person uses it, I guess if we are talking about dildos itself, if you share that, you have probably some kind of feces contact, sharing from one person to another directly into the anal canal. We have to really look at the anal area. The tissues within our anal area are very delicate. They can be bruised very easily. It does give an opportunity for viruses or to enter directly into the body much easier than any other part. A toy, if it's especially a big toy, will spread the cells in the anal area, allowing any type of virus or foreign body to enter our system much more directly, you see. And just a little bit left on a toy from someone else, and it's being used on another person, could spread the cells in the anal area and allow it to enter directly into the system.
All right.
Okay.
So we've talked about what is safe, what is possibly safe, and what is definitely unsafe. Before we go on, I'd like to ask you a little bit about this, I believe, current campaign, and I don't know, tell me where it's come from, The Mother's Advice. I believe they hired the actress who was in Poltergeist, playing Mother in the ads, and the Mother's Handy Sex Guide that we're referring to is part of that campaign.
Yeah. That's LA Cares. They're doing a really very interesting program out there, basically saying that, like a mother, LA wants us to start taking good care of ourselves. And it is the first advice, as Mother says, is play safely. You can still be intimate, have fun, be creative with your sex life. You know, you can still fantasize, and you can still dress up as a cowboy or whatever your favorite fantasy is, but when it comes down to actually having sex, play safe. She also says out there to say no to unsafe sex. Be sort of assertive. You know, you have a right to say no. Don't be afraid to say no, and to say no to unsafe sex. Don't play with strangers, she says. Know who you love. which is interesting, you know, it used to be sort of chic to be a slut. Now it's sort of, it was actually during the sex revolution, through all the population, straight and gay. But now it's very chic to be dating someone, you know, to maybe even have sex on a third or fourth date. So she says, know who loves you, and don't play with strangers. Her fourth advice is drugs and alcohol really can affect your judgment in playing safe, and it also weakens your body's defense systems. There's many things that really weaken our body's defense mechanisms, systems. Stress, particularly one. She wants us to avoid stress, which is basically lots of change in your life is stress. She wants us to exercise, eat right, have fun. It's important to have fun to keep your immune system. Don't go in the closet and stay home and knit and worry about AIDS. Fear is one of the biggest. Sitting home being fearful is one of our biggest enemies right now. That alone could make such dis-ease with yourself that you start producing diseases in your body. And if you wear down your body, your immune system goes down, and if you do get in contact with a virus, the virus, it will kick in. Okay? She basically says, stay healthy. I think I want to quote here what Dr. Mansell really says to us often from MD Anderson, who's a wonderful man and very helpful with us. And he basically says, if you were all in a canoe, 80% of gay men probably have the virus in their body, and we're all in a canoe rowing down this river. And if the virus hits us and kicks in, if we're strong enough to row that canoe to the side of the river and get out of it, we will beat it. We will get healthy again. If we aren't strong enough, if we've been drinking or sleeping, not getting our sleep, if we haven't been keeping up a good, healthy lifestyle and using Mother's advice, we're not going to have the strength to get to the side of this river. And we're going to end up going down the river and over the dam. And once we're over the dam, right now, there's a death sentence. And that's scary. Hopefully that scariness is enough motivation for us to really start to take care of ourselves, to have the strength continuously if something hits us to be able to row to the side. I think that's very important for us as a community to know. We as gay men, all of us as gay men, are facing an issue which we should be facing in later on in life, the issue of people dying around us. Usually in 50s and 60s, it's a very natural stage to really look at your mortality directly in the eyes. We are doing that in our 20s and 30s.
Yes, that's right.
As gay men, looking at mortality. But that issue is a great motivator for us to start to change. And as we change, we feel better about ourselves. And part of the changing is taking Mother's advice and getting healthier, eating better, eating your vegetables, all the little things Mother always told us. Really.
And, just a comment on the side, like, I know that I enjoy eating just as much as sexy, but one in the substitute for another. You briefly before the program started told me something that education sort of campaign that KPFT is going to be involved with.
Well, yeah, I'm on the board at KPFT, and I'm also chairing their community outreach program, and KPFT is. Tonight stated that we will engage on a campaign to start to publicize the general public about safe sex. They're getting to know it as defensive sex. It's a different word that the straight community is using, but it is entering the straight community very quickly. It's moving much faster, and you'll see women be more subjected to it in the future. Their rate of increase will be much higher than even gay men. And there's a great big bisexual population. The bisexual population is actually larger than the straight population. It's, according to Kinsey's, two partners in the 3 or 4 years, and that's more like 20% of the population. They're the ones who are going to be scared next, and we have to start educating. So the KPFT is going to gear itself in a campaign over the radio and through our programming newspaper. We're going to have articles in there so we can get it out through the community. How to have safe or defensive sex for the whole population, because it'll probably be the sex of the 80s until the disease is eliminated. Safe sex will also eliminate all venereal diseases if done right.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Well, one thing that I found real interesting was the term defensive sex. I'd much rather use safe sex. It's a much more positive term.
Yeah, I heard that with the Dr. Johnson on Nightline and a few of the doctors. Don't judge them as right or wrong. Okay, let's not judge each other what we've done or what someone's doing. That only perpetuates fear and guilt. We don't need fear or guilt right now, okay? So, the sentence is that your feelings are empirical facts. Don't judge them or judge other people's feelings. Just try to understand them. And I think we'll get through this and can support each other in our changing our behavior much quicker, okay? And save a lot of lives. The other sort of mini lectures I give is sort of, it's a big one that has a lot of little ones underneath it. But it is, let's talk about the word sex and gay men in general. And these are only sort of theories, they aren't sort of facts, but it is what we bring up. Gay men have been labeled as sexual beings. Okay,
right.
Okay. For a lot of reasons I like to get into. And maybe we incorporated this into our sort of our attitudes too because of our culture, but we've been labeled that. Basically, the word homosexual is just, they see as sexual beings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that came even before, that was in, for hundreds of years we've been called that, which really sort of never ever let us be identified as people that have feelings, emotions, all the other parts of our personality. They just pick out this little part, sexual, of our identification. We had to come out as homosexuals for our rights. Okay, and fight for our sexual rights. When did that really come into full bloom? It was happening for 50 years, probably more than that, but really it came about just 10 years ago at Stonewall. And what was happening 10 years ago was the sexual revolution, okay, of the 70s,
yeah.
Which was big and throughout society, throughout Europe, Western civilization was going through a sexual revolution, gave us permission to really come out of the closet. And when people come out of the closet, any minority, woman, you know, demand more rights, blacks, Hispanics, they become very assertive. It's a sociological trait that you can even, that's been written about. When people come out of the closet, become assertive. So we came out on the, riding the tide of sexual revolution, asking for our rights, being very assertive about our sexual rights. Okay? So let's see sex, there's a lot of sex coming back. Also, men loving men. Are taught roles, and I'm very much a feminist, but still the roles that predominate in our society
right.
are sexist.
Mm-hmm.
And through TV, we're constantly taught that men are sexual first and emotional second, and that women are emotional first and sexual second. Well, it is true, probably in our playgrounds, we did learn that the guys in eighth grade were talking about genital language, and the girls were talking about more emotional languages, you know, in the playgrounds.
Right, you're
okay?
right.
And so we were taught that, so men loving men became much more sexual, acting out, okay? More sexual emphasis on the gay man, okay? Keep on going down the road and looking at our sex. You have a baby boom generation that was coming out of the closet at that time,
mm-hmm.
riding on this, a large group of men who
yes.
were going to make up for lost time. They were tired of being in the closet. So you had a lot of men coming out, having a lot of, going through almost their adolescence. As I said on this program before, we do go through our adolescence. Adolescence is a great, fun time. We should go through that. We had to make up for things that we weren't allowed to go through with intimacy from 13 to 18. We were making it up whatever age we were at, from 20, 25,
yeah,
or 33.
Right.
And all of us doing it together really got us into a party mood. Okay? And the emphasis on sex was around a lot. I'd like to, for us to realize that all of this is a very, very healthy stage for our development. I don't think we should feel guilty at all about what we've done or how we've actually expressed our love to each other through these years or how we've gone through a fun adolescence. I don't think we should ever feel guilty about that. And I think that's a psychosocial issue that we need to remember. What we have gone through has been something we have needed to go through and look at it as a good development for ourselves. I really saw a lot of people, I'm 36 years old, and I saw a lot of people in my age group already sort of finishing their adolescence. We had two or three lovers, okay? We crashed out, we partied all night, we went to baths. A lot of us were going into dating anyway. I really believe AIDS just boosted us along into a period of our adulthood that, you know, as a group as well as individuals, that we want more intimacy and we're lessening the sexual emphasis. I think that was happening anyway, but AIDS came along and has sort of helped us along into going into adult, or basically intimacy is in exploring our more intimate selves instead of our sexual selves. The reason why I said that is because I'm hearing a lot of people, either I'm a therapist in prior practice as well as a counselor, and I'm feeling a lot of guilt about their sexual selves. And I don't believe we have anything to feel guilty about where we've been or what we've done. Sex in every school of sex ideology or thought in America or Western civilization, sex is okay as long as you don't hurt yourself or anyone else. And exactly. At the counseling center, we used to have workshops on anal health, anal pleasure, you know, to show how to have that sex and not hurt yourself or anyone else. Times have changed. The virus has come along and it actually has limited us as far as what type of sex we can have before we hurt ourselves or anyone else. In fact, it's so predominant right now that we could die from it. So that is the motivation why we have to change our sexual behavior. It's not to judge what we have done, it's that the simple value, if we hurt ourselves or someone else, we've got to change that behavior. It becomes unhealthy. The virus and what we know about the virus now makes unsafe sex behavior unhealthy.
Well, one thing that you mentioned earlier about dating. With sex, quite often the word excitement comes up. And I know that I was 22 when I came out, I'm 31 now, is that the most exciting times was when I actually had quote-unquote a date. Because that was a much newer and even foreign experience to me. And now that sort, well, with AIDS, the excitement of the date is coming back, you know, and that's something at least gay men are starting to experience, you know. Going out to a movie, dinner, whatever, you know, getting to
know someone.
And being close in that fashion.
Exactly. I am finding that it definitely is, it's much, much, peer pressure even says it's much safer and more mature to actually get into having dates. It's hard, though, for some men who've been practicing only dating or meeting men through a sexual encounter first, and then they get to know the person. Well, they're reversing that sort of attitude right now, and that's real important to look at. We're actually going to expand this workshop to include the issue of dating, because still a lot of men find that it's very scary to date or become very judgmental on a date or even feel rejected if they don't have sex on the first date. Okay? And a lot of clients that I have want to continue dating this person but don't want to go home on the first date. They want to make sure the person, they do an interview, they want to make sure the person doesn't go to bookstores or hasn't been to the bath. They want to get to know the person a little more before they actually invest in having a sexual act.
Well, I know, at least for myself, I encounter a problem. I'm a very tactile person ordinarily, and I like to touch, and when I do that out in public, you know, people almost jump back sometimes, you know, and not go, you know. And with people, sometimes I have to, you know, pull them over the side and go, hey, I like to touch. Mm-hmm. I'm not out to make you, you know. And more and more men are experiencing that now, yeah.
we as men in our roles have been taught not to be very touchy. Our fathers were taught not to touch other men. We saw men. If you did touch, you almost were giving yourself away. As a young, you may have been vulnerable to be teased as being effeminate if you touched and hugged. That's very deep-rooted in our culture, in Western culture. So it hasn't been a very taught element until we came out into our gay communities and met people who are willing to be touched. Have we been able to exercise this? So it's really understandable for me to see why guys would jump if you're being touched immediately, because that's a lot. They've been taught that for 20 years. You can't undo it so quickly.
Especially when you're just having a friendly conversation, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you put your hand on their leg or on their shoulder or their arm, you know, and you get that reaction.
Yeah, or they'll feel like it's ticklish or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reaction you get from being goosed.
Right.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment, but we'll have a short break for some music.